Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Network update. Russell Wilson wants to make a little bit of history. The Seattle Seahawks quarterback looking to set a new precedent by signing a contract that can rise in future years based on increases in the NFL salary caps or new revenue streams. This according to Peter King of NBC Sports. The new revenue streams could include both gambling and future TV deals. Such a deal would be the first in history to fluctuate based on the league's unknown bottom line in future years. Wilson, who is entering his final year of his current deal, has set April 15th today. That's the deadline for getting a long-term deal done. Still no word as of yet. King's also reported that Wilson likely won't sign a long-term deal with the Seahawks if it isn't agreed upon by today and will opt out to play under the franchise tag in 2020. That's worth $30.3 million. In 2001, $36.4 million. And franchise tagging Wilson for a third year would cost $52.4 million in 2022. Wilson's hard stance in negotiations had led to reports that he's interested in playing for maybe another team, mainly the New York Giants. Those are the stories. However, even without a new contract in place, the quarterback will attend the first day of Seattle's offseason program. Wilson spent his entire year as a Seahawk, never missed a start since entering the league in 2012, six Pro Bowl selections, and one Super Bowl title as well. The Giants are taking a long look at one of their quarterback prospects before the draft. The number six overall pick in this year's draft belongs to the Giants, and they're going to visit Dwayne Haskins for 2 days. Haskins growing up in the Jersey area. He met with the Broncos and Redskins last week, and the big quarterback, also Oakland, said to be very, very interested. They own the fourth pick overall. Stay tuned. Patriots star quarterback Tom Brady expected to skip volunteer team workouts for a second straight year. The 41-year-old missed last year's sessions to spend more time with his family. Seemed to work. Brady threw for over 4,300 yards, 29 touchdowns, 11 picks, and he's coming off his sixth Super Bowl championship. Just two games in the NBA playoffs tonight. Brooklyn shocking Philly in game one. What a performance by the Nets. Now the Sixers laying 8.5 points, and this one over under 226.5. This tips off at 8 o'clock, just after 8. Game two of the doubleheader in the NBA. Golden State hosting the Clip Joint. Warriors laying 13.5. Total sits at 234.5. It's up a couple points. Warriors lead 1-0 in that series. Doc Rivers not happy with the reffing after game one. This just in, the Philadelphia Flyers have named Alain Vigneault as their new head coach. More to come. Four games in the NHL playoffs get tonight. Things starting off with a pair of games just after 7. Toronto hosting Boston. The Leafs laying 20 cents over under 6 flat. The series tied at 1. Bruins news. Krug and DeBrusque both in the lineup for the Bees. They're going to play tonight. Nazem Kadri still waiting on a suspension for a cross-check to Jake DeBrusque's head in game 2. Not sure yet, but this game is under 3 hours and we still don't have a response. Pretty stupid by the league. The Carolina Hurricanes hosting the Washington Capitals. Canes laying $1.30. Total is 6. Caps hold a 2-0 series lead on the bunch of jerks. 9:30. Dallas and Nashville. Stars are a small 120 favorite. Low total. This one sits at 5. The series tied at 1. And at 10 o'clock, Calgary hosting Colorado. The Flames laying 120 on the road. Over under 6. This best of series tied at 1. Cale Makar, the Hobie Trophy winner, will be in the lineup for Colorado tonight. He had a great year. 49 points in 41 games. This year for the UMass Minutemen, he will be in Colorado's lineup. Today, we honor the man who broke the color barrier when he made his historic MLB debut. Today, we say thank you, number 42, Jackie Robinson. It's Jackie Robinson Day across all MLB parks. This man, a real hero. Patriots Day in Boston. We had early baseball and not good for the hometown Red Sox. The Baltimore Orioles, Dwight Smith Jr., former Jay with a dinger and four ribbies. Baltimore hammering Boston, 8-1 the final. Wow. Dan Straley gets the win. Hector Velasquez the loss. Baltimore moves to 7-10. The Red Sox, 6-11 to start the season. At 7:05, Mets and Phillies. Phils minus 125, 7.5. Great matchup here. Syndergaard and Nola, 7-10. Cubbies laying 140. At Miami, 8 is your over-under. Darvish versus Richards. A pair at 7:40. St. Louis at Milwaukee. The Brew Crew minus 135. Total 9.5. Hudson versus Peralta. Toronto and Minnesota. Twins minus 140. Total 8.5. Schumacher versus Perez. 8:05, we got the Angels and Rangers. Angels minus 130, 10.5, Cahill and Miller. Royals and White Sox at 8:10, and a trio at 10:10, including Cincinnati. They play the LA Dodgers. Dodgers minus 70, and Clayton Kershaw makes his season debut tonight. Stick around, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. We'll talk Tiger, Masters, playoffs in the NBA and NHL, and a whole lot more. Mike Blewett drops by, too, so stick around, everybody. Red Heat and Rage Radio coming up.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat and Rage at Radio. Fantasy Sports at Radio Network. iHeart now on YouTube as well. I'm Gabriel Morenci. Throwing it down. New York and New Jersey. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, back from Las Vegas and Nevada in Toronto, where, of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs will host the Boston Bruins this evening. Tomorrow night, the Toronto Raptors host the Orlando Magic. Busy times. In the six, and of course, we pick up the pieces following Tiger Woods' Masters victory. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, back from Sin City. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Gabe? Yeah, shout out to Tiger Woods. He got it done. And, you know, I got to be honest, when we were wrong, and we said one thing, though, that was right. If he was going to win a major, it was going to be at Augusta. Perfect fit for that course. As he said, he plodded along. And what happens on Masters Sunday? Good players that never gag. I've never seen Francesco Molinari put two balls in the water, and it was actually crazy to see. And what can you say about Tiger? When he's on the leaderboard, all the young kids, they tremble. They see old Tiger, and he loves it, and they get a little bit scared, and he closed it out with number 15. Congratulations to him. Very emotional. It was a great tournament. And Gabe, other than that, pretty good weekend, but those Raptors losing to Orlando, burning a lot of money parlay tickets, unacceptable. They better win in game two.
Yeah, a little bit frustrating to say the least. But yeah, you're right. You and I stated, you know, Tiger. We both brought up Augusta, so it's not shocking. And the British Open, I always think he has a chance there as well. But listen, I'll admit when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It is what it is. Yep. Now listen, I didn't come into the Masters saying Tiger Woods sucks. it's not like I was like, oh, Tiger doesn't have a chance or anything. I didn't pick him. And I'll be honest with you. Maybe I would have. I didn't get into the Masters this year, Cam. I barely saw any of it. I'm not going to lie. I got pissed off because Justin Rose blew my make the cut parlay. And you know, I was like, all right, my parlay's done. John Rahm started to fade. I was really worried about Fleetwood, and I was really in NBA mode, in NHL mode, NBA. You know, I love the Raptors, so I was really into it, and the Brooklyn Nets Saturday. And so I sort of saw, hey, Tiger Woods is in it, but I never really thought, oh, Tiger Woods is about to win it. I never really got into the Masters, and I'm not going to lie to you, I missed it. I woke up right as he won. I could hear it. I woke up, literally. I got up, Cam, but I was hungover. I'm like, oh, I'm going back to sleep. I woke up. I didn't know they started it earlier.
That's the thing. They changed those tee times. Nobody knew. And that's the thing, Gabe. Like, I'm sitting there going, what the hell's going to happen today? Next thing you know, when has the Masters ever ended at, like, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? It was crazy. Like, I'm looking at my phone, the same thing, right? Like, I'm at the hotel going, okay, how am I going to get early coverage? I got to go down to the book. I'm looking around. They're all hell. I look at Patrick Cantlay. He's making a move. I got this guy at 80-1. He led the Masters with three holes to go. I was losing my mind, Morenci. Then what does he do? Bogey. Welcome to our world. Couldn't even get a top six for me. What a joke.
All right. Well, now it goes from now. Listen, he won. And listen, we were wrong. It is what it is. And I'm starting to think he has a chance at Jack now. Before I said no way in hell. Now I'm like, I got to admit it. He's only 43 years old.
Yeah, he looks
pretty good, really does.
Too. Looks good.
We're right about so many things, you and I, Cam. We can't be right about everything.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio continues. Cam Stewart back from Las Vegas. Thanks to George Kurtz for stepping up and in. George will be with us tomorrow. I was thinking about even getting him on today just because he was disagreeing with me on Twitter earlier. But like I said, I'm a nicer guy than most people. I said no suspension for Kadri. I'd say, hey, I'm watching you, Kadri. You know, that'd be enough after the fact. DeBrus tried to run Marlowe into the pole. Yeah, next to the bench. It was a cheap shot, and I don't know why no one sees that. They're like, no, he didn't.
I'm like, what do you mean? No, he didn't. He skated. He waited. He was like, I'm going to wait till right now, and I'm going to try to drill him. That's Marlowe, too. Marlowe's like 80 years old. That was a Bush League move by that DeBrusque guy. He deserved to get hit in the face.
You know what, Gabe? And you're right about that. I still think he's going to get a game or two. I'm with you. All these hockey guys, they're thinking five games. I'm thinking that's nuts.
One game.
No, he'll get two. I think he'll get two or three.
I think you're right. I'll say they give him two. Yeah, but. Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think DeBrusque has been known. Like, I love his dad. Louis DeBrusque was one of the best fighters of all time. I don't understand how Jake DeBrusque, he's been a little cheap shot artist his whole life. He's a slew footer like guys like Malkin. He's a cheap shot artist. You can kill somebody doing something like that. But Kadri, Gabe, the problem is with Kadri, and even as a Leaf fan, I have to be unbiased. He's a repeat offender. He's hit people in the head before, and it just doesn't look good on him. It would have been nice if somebody else instead of Kadri had to do this, because the Leafs are going to need his grit in this series. They played like crap that second game, and Boston just basically burned him into the ground. I'm really worried about tonight's game, especially with the toughness level. It's time for Tavares and Matthews to step up. Matthews has 1 point in 9 playoff games. It's unacceptable. And look what the Islanders have done without Tavares. Kudos to you, Barry Trotz, and this team. You're playing a great system of hockey. They are putting the Penguins, they are beating them down in every area, Gabe. That's how you play playoff hockey, Islander style. They're playing for each other. They're working hard, and you got to love it. Up 3-0. What a performance.
Yeah, crazy, man. If you would have told me before the playoffs started that the Tampa and Pittsburgh would be down 0-3 each, I'd say, wow.
You're nuts.
Really?
You're nuts.
Yeah. Not even Bob in Vermont would pick that.
Yeah. I got Columbus in the series, Morenci, and we've been high on Columbus. Let's give Columbus a lot of respect, too. The one thing I like about Columbus with Tampa Bay is they look faster. Panarin stepping up. We know about Atkinson and these guys. And at the end of the season, the thing is, Gabe, and we know this, we've been around hockey for a long time. Playing playoff games going into the playoffs is huge compared to a team that's not. Columbus has had this intensity going for the last 10 to 12 games of the season. And the Tampa Bay Lightning might as well have been in a beach or in Vegas with me sipping booze, because you know what? They're not ready to play. It's very simple.
Or in Vegas with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. So I asked people on Twitter earlier this morning, will Tiger Woods catch up to Jack's 18 major championship wins? 205 responses, 26% say Tiger will pass Jack. 18% say he will tie Jack.
Ooh.
56% say won't catch him. And it's interesting because I was looking for some odds and I figured, yeah, somebody's got to put a prop up for this. And our good friends over at FanDuel are actually the first ones out of the gate. Props to FanDuel. They just posted numbers for this, I see, about an hour and a half ago. Will Tiger Woods, so 5-1 plus 500, Cam, that he ties Jack. Plus 500 that he ties Jack. 10-1 that he passes him.
I got to be honest, Gabe. Since you brought it out there to me, I'm really thinking about this one. I don't think he's going to win another U.S. Open due to guys like Koepka and Dustin Johnson and the big hitters. Yeah. I think that it'll eventually wear him down. But at 44, remember, Tom Watson almost won a tournament when he was 60 at the British Open before Stuart Sink beat him, which would have been probably the craziest sports story of all time. Tiger Woods still has lots of time with the British and the Masters. Those are the only majors I think he's going to win. The PGA in the U.S., I have a lot of questions about over 4 days. It's going to be very, very difficult. But those, I think he can get it done. Ah, man, it's such a tough thing. I think he probably wins one or two more. I don't think he gets to Jack. I'm thinking 17, but very intriguing, Morenci. Very intriguing.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I don't know. I think he's 44. That's what I thought, 43. Maybe he's late 43 going on 44.
He's 44. He's 44. I think he's 44.
Okay, so 44. Well, whatever. So I'm with you. He's in pretty good shape right now, too. I mean, yeah, he's got some health issues, but at the same point in time, I don't think he'll push himself and play in a million tournaments. I don't think he'll play a lot. I think he'll sort of gun for majors. And I'm totally with you in that. Listen, he'll always have a chance at Augusta. And I figure.
Always. And the
look,
British.
Cam, Phil Mickelson's 49 years old right now.
I know.
Still playing pretty good golf.
He sure is.
You know?
Getting the ball. He's hitting the ball harder than he ever has, Gabe. It's actually crazy. These guys, it's not like the old days where the athletes we used to know, you meet them in the bar, hey, you want to have a smoke? Like Guy Lafleur. These guys, it's a different era, and these young guys work out a lot.
I'm 4 years older than Tiger, and trust me, if I had Tiger's game, I could get through a course. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And Tiger's in better shape than I am.
you think?
Like, it's golf. It's not the NBA, bro.
He's in great shape, yes.
Yeah, it's not the NBA. Not the NHL. Like, it's golf.
Yeah, he's in better shape.
I mean? Like, Tiger,
us.
Yeah, Tiger can still win for a while.
Definitely.
You know?
We're huffing and puffing on the sixth hole. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
No, Tiger Woods is in very good shape. The only thing you worry about is the back, the surgeries and things like that, Gabe. But, and also, here's another factor and a feather in his cap. You ever notice when Tiger Woods is in the event or have a chance to win, how the young guys kind of fade? It's like before, and look at the guys that battled Tiger and lost. Bob May, an absolute nobody, but almost beat Tiger Woods, and he showed his guts, and he battled down to the end. Rocco Mediate almost did it on a broken leg. Tiger Woods finally beat him in extra holes. Like, you know, Chris DeMarco at the Masters before, putting in his best performance. It's actually hilarious now. When Tiger Woods gets a lead against these young guys, despite them being awesome, they almost fade for him. It's like, you know what I mean? They look at him and go, ooh, Tiger, he's Superman. We can't beat him. It's weird.
The way
these guys fade. It's almost like, I'm not saying they give it to him. I'm just saying he intimidates them so much. It's like, guys, Bob May, Chris DeMarco, and Rocco Mediate stuck up for Tiger. Why can't you, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler? You get my drift, Gabe?
I said the same thing this morning, and I seem to be in a minority when I said, to be honest, I said, all these guys just sort of let him win. And I'm saying, exactly. I'm not saying that, oh, we're going to let Tiger win. They were trying to win. But the whole thing that I saw that, oh, there were like a bunch of players waiting for him in the clubhouse after and stuff. And I'm thinking, you guys are crazy. He's like a shark. You're all welcoming him and stuff. And he's just you're shaking his hand and hugging him. And he's thinking, I'm going to kick your ass for the next 5 years, kids.
Exactly.
It's like, guys, he's there to win. You're there to congratulate him. I would have been kicking things on the way out, going, I can't believe I just lost to a 44-year-old man. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. You notice Patrick Cantlay didn't come out, Gabe? He's the guy that had it 80-1. And Tiger talked about him. He had the lead. And the minute he looked at the leaderboard and saw his name at the top, I literally think he dropped one in his pants. He goes, oh, my God, I just eagled that hole. I'm 13 under. I'm ahead of everybody. Hopefully the rains pick up and then bogey, bogey. That's the difference between Tiger Woods and all these other guys. He'll just let you, you know, he's kind of like that snake. He's just kind of plodding around, waiting for you to screw up. And he's plodding and waiting and waiting. And you said it. These guys, sure, it's a class move to congratulate him, but don't bow down to him at the end, too. It's like, I want to see you battle him. Why don't you show some, like, these kids are too soft. Like, back in the day, and I give Rocco Mediate and all those guys all the credit in the world, they had no game. No game compared to these kids, Gabe. And what does he do? He took everything he had to beat them. Now these kids, it almost like they're like, okay, Tiger, you're the best. We give in. It feels that way.
Well, we've got Ron Cyrak. We had him on this morning. We'll replay it a little bit later on. You'll enjoy the conversation we had with him.
I will. He's a good guy. Listen, he knows his stuff.
Yeah, you know Ron Cyrak. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, he's a
lifetime
achievement award golf writer and stuff. Yeah. And he's been around.
He's awesome.
Like, he was actually talking about, well, Gabe, you know, I was there when Jack won in 86. You know what I mean? Like, the guy's been around. So he was, like, over the top excited about laying this out. Now, Jack himself tweeted, Cam. Jack himself tweeted, he's going to catch me. He's got a good chance to catch me.
Yep.
And he even brought up, so the next tournament is Bethpage Black.
Yeah, he's played well there before, won there
he's
before.
He's won there. He's won there before. You know where they're playing? Of all years, we say about the U.S. Open, this year, what U.S. Open is? Pebble Beach.
Oh, yeah. Those are Pebble Beach he owns. Bethpage
of all the courses where it's the U.S. Open, Pebble Beach.
Great point. And another thing,
not one of these pitch courses like in Oklahoma or one of those ones.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's Pebble
Beach. Or whatever.
Played it a million times. No problem. You know, he's won there.
His caddy, big New York guy too. Joe LaCava is a big Giants fan. He knows the area. Advantage Tiger Woods in these majors. Good points. Excellent point.
He might get another one this year.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Gabe,
Game Time Decision, Ready for Rage Radio, continues Radio, iHeart, now on YouTube. As well, we're waiting word for the Kadri suspension.
Yeah, what's taking so long?
Well, they want to screw with the league.
2.5 hours.
They want to screw with them. They want to give them bad news right before the game starts. It's ridiculous.
It is.
Like
You knew this was happening over a day ago. You're waiting. It's 4:30 Eastern time, and you still haven't made a damn decision on a playoff game that goes off just after 7 o'clock? What are these guys, asleep? As you say, Gabe, at the strip bar?
Over at the brass rail.
Kadri, yeah, exactly. Zanzibar. Two strip bar parlay. I don't know what the hell these idiots are doing, but yeah, like, at least get it out in the open so the Leafs can figure out what's going on here. They got enough problems with Boston.
Joke. Zanzibar. All right, let's break. All right, let's bring Mike Blewett in right now. Joins us. Mike, welcome to the program. How you doing today?
I'm doing, guys. No problem with the recall of those strip club names, obviously.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, we don't recommend Zanzibar to anybody, actually, but that's beside the point. The brass rail, on the other hand, is okay.
Close to Lancaster? They got a buffet.
Yeah. The brass rail was
left unturned, Gabe.
That's where A-Rod got nailed years ago. But
yeah, I remember.
But I digress. But no, we'll see. We'll see what happens when they announce this suspension. We'll keep our eye on this. I guess I don't know. I guess he's not playing tonight. That's the moral of the story. But I mean, I hope they don't overreact. One game would be enough, maybe two. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. So what, Mike? Everyone's talking about Tiger Woods. I posted a poll question this morning. Will Tiger Woods pass Jack? Will he tie Jack? Will he not catch Jack? And I'm going to be fully honest. I was one of the people, and Cam, we were like, he's never catching Jack. He's kind of done. He's worn out. And he was. And in fact, his own words, he said yesterday, I was done. He even said it. He said, I was done. And here he is. Here he is back right now. And really, I'm not going to be a hater for being a sake of being a hater. When I look, and me and Cam just talked about it, seems like the other golfers just don't have the same killer instinct that he does. And for generations, you can't. Like, Dustin Johnson's a great golfer, no killer instinct. I think Rory's overrated to me. Yeah, he's a great golfer, but where are the wins? Molinari seems to be a badass that shows up to compete, but
he does.
When I look at the field, yeah, they're younger. Technically, they're better, but, it's like Ron brought up this morning. Tiger Woods is like a baseball pitcher that used to throw fastballs, but now he's figured out how to pitch at an older age, and he's still mentally tougher than all these other guys on the tour is. I don't see why he can't, actually, and he's won at Bethpage Black where they're playing in Long Island, and imagine, Cam, it's in New York the next one. It's going to be off the hook with the media and stuff.
It's going to be
after
awesome.
After that.
We should be there, Gabe. We should be there,
yeah,
Gabe.
I should cover it for the network.
Yeah, live from Bethpage Black, Sports Rage.
I'll be there. I'll be there on Friday for sure.
Yeah, right, Blue.
It looks like you'll
awesome,
be covering. It looks like you'll be covering it for the network.
Yes, Mike.
I gotta take some load off your shoulders, Gabe.
But imagine thinking of the media like hype when it's in New York.
I'm bummed that I didn't already buy the tickets. I've had a reservation to buy tickets, like a reminder to keep reminding myself, and then I just forgot, and now Tiger won, so it's gonna be out of control.
Yeah, and Mike. And what about LeCava, too? And a lot of that win, like, he's been a great caddy, right? He's beside Tiger. He's got the New York Giants book, you know what I mean? When they got the yardage book, it's got the New York Giants logo on the front. Like, advantage New York, and you know the fans, too. Like, the way they embraced Phil, that's Phil. It's going to be, as Gabe said before, like, 5 times, 10 times the amount of respect for Tiger after winning the Masters. It's going to be a real home game for Tiger, for sure.
Like, I mean, I was at Shinnecock last year for the U.S. Open, and that's when Tiger wasn't even playing particularly well. And the throngs of people that were following him on that Friday in Shinnecock were, like, unlike anything I've ever seen, certainly on a golf course, and I've never really even seen anything like that in person, where there's one person walking down a fairway, and there's 20, 30,000 people following him. Just him. And he wasn't even really competing in that tournament. So I can only imagine what it's going to be now. I have to give you credit, Gabe, because look, you and I talk a lot, and sometimes you can be, and I say this with respect, you can be a little bit more cynical towards some of this stuff. But I think even you yesterday admitted that it was really cool. I think the redemption story for Tiger is sometimes overplayed. And on the flip side, sometimes people bash it because some of the issues for him were of his own doing. But the physical part of it, where he had the multiple back surgeries and all these injuries, for him to come back and play a tournament like that, as many people have said, it's just hard to believe that he played like that.
For me, it's the personal side of it, and not from a Disney, sentimental standpoint,
right.
But from the fact that this guy basically was physically, done, psychologically, yeah. Tiger Woods, a couple of weeks ago, he was in a tournament, a kid had a picture of a mugshot, sort of had the vision, Tiger went from popping pills and crashing cars and being in a dark spot, pretty much rock bottom, to not only, getting his life back in order, but then getting to the top of the top again. That's what I'm most impressed with.
From the totally golf, agree. The golf, you and I are golf, in lockstep.
Yeah, the golf accomplishment's one thing, but just from where he was. And a lot of people could have said, hey, you know what? I heard he's got $750 million already. You can say, man, I'm already nearly a billionaire. I was, I'm one of the best, I'm probably the best golfer of all time, me and Jack, whatever. It was a hell of a run.
And
I always said, remember, Cam, I even said a couple of years ago, I said, now to your career, and you agreed. I said, now your career's winding down. Why don't you buy an NBA team or something? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, stay competitive and, hell, buy an NBA team. The guy's going to be winning. I think he'll win again. I'm done doubting him. I think the way he's playing, he played well last year. He'll pick his spots, and now he's confident again. He's going to get his swagger back. Like I said, it might take 3-4 years for this to happen, but I think he can get to 18.
The crazy thing is, Morenzi and Mike, golf. And sorry, Mike, I don't mean to interrupt, but I know guys that have played on the Canadian Tour, and I know a lot of – and Gabe knows. I went down to the Masters and covered it. Golf's one of my favorite games, and I know people that have lost it in golf. Look at Lee Westwood, for example. Where's Danny Willett been since he's won this? And this process has not just been 1 year. For an 11 years between a major, to lose your game – totally, to bring it back up to this level, the nuances and the mental aspects of the sport, that's the crazy thing for me, because I know lots of guys from every single level of golf that lost it, that never got it back and worked on it every day. And you heard what he said. You know what I mean? For me to compete, I got to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to battle these kids.
Yeah,
it's commendable, Mike.
Yeah, Ian Baker Finch, there's many guys that just, it completely went away. David Duval was deceived by back injuries, and he never came back. He was the guy competing with Tiger. No joke. This is now 20 years ago where Duval and Tiger were going at it. And Duval's been an announcer for a really long time. And Tiger just said, no, it's the one thing I'm built to do, and I'm going to try and come back and do it. I think the combination of his physical breakdown and for him to just persevere through that mentally, that to Cam's point, is the impressive part. He's had to relearn his game almost from the ground up because of all the back injuries.
Yeah, another player that was great and just lost it a lot younger, though, Jordan Spieth.
I don't know what's going on there. It's crazy.
The golf, man, it's not like baseball. I guess it's like life. Things can be good until they're not. And when they're not, it's hard to make them good again.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And, we always talk about it, Cam. When do you win the most bets? When you don't need the money.
Exactly. What I'm saying? Excellent point.
Yeah.
So true.
I think about this. It's interesting. Yeah,
men with girlfriends get hit on more than single dudes. I'm saying?
It's true. Yeah. When you need it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
When you don't need it, you got it.
It's wrong. It's the way that it works. Yeah.
When it feels like,
they smell the failure and the desperation. And it's the same thing. Lord Gambler smells it. You're like, man, I really need this parlay. I really need this. You're not going to get it. The day you get paid, you have money in your pocket. You play a big, I just won $400. You didn't need the money. But, of course, you won. Lord works in mysterious ways.
It's so true, man. It's so true.
Yeah, you're talking about, to your point about the mental component. We saw yesterday when he sticks that shot on 16, he knows that he just won the tournament. He didn't fist pump. He just knew it. He was like, he was in the zone. He was locked in a way that we haven't seen from him in a really long time. He knew as soon as he stuck that shot that he had won the tournament.
Yeah. And Mike, before that, I was telling Gabe, I got Cantlay at 80-1. And I'm sitting there, and I smash that kid. I wake up. They start the early time. He hits that eagle putt. He's leading. He's leading the Masters. Yep. And you saw it. The minute he looked up at the scoreboard and was like, oh, my God, I'm in first place. You saw what happened. His difference, on 16, he almost hits it off the green. Crazy putt that he can't hit for par. He's done. Whereas Tiger Woods embraces it. Okay, Molinari's in the water. Tony Finau, he can't putt. He gagged here, and he's just licking his chops, waiting for everybody to fold. But to Gabe's earlier point, Mike, and I want to talk about this, who out of this young generation is going to step up? Who's going to be the rival? Because Bob May, that was a one-time thing. Rocco Mediate, crazy leg, as I mentioned, he almost beat Tiger. And these kids today have 5 times, 10 times the skill set that these guys do. Who is going to be man enough to step up to Tiger and say, I'm going to stare you in the face, I'm going to beat you, instead of crumbling in front of him? That's the question.
Yeah. And you make a good point about them being in better physical shape. I think that will help. That obviously helps them on some level. But you can't really dismiss what Koepka has been able to do over the last 2 years in majors. I know there's more consistent players all throughout the tour. But what Koepka has done in majors for the last 2 years is a guy that can obviously do this long term, or should be able to.
Great point, Mike.
All right, I blew it with us. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeartRadio, now on YouTube. Mike will stay for another segment. We'll get a Billy Joel review.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
First round of the 2019 NFL Draft is Thursday, April 25th. And for serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start prepping for the 2019 season. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long, betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with the promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com.
Well done, Cam. So the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. I am Gabriel Morenci. Mike Blewett with us. And I don't know. I don't know if you heard about this, Cam, in Las Vegas, actually, locally, but there's a dude from Vegas that's killing Jeopardy right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we watched him. This guy, and he's all in, too, Gabe. You see him? He's flashing the money like he's at the strip club there. He's like, yeah, double showcase. This guy does not care. That's the problem with people on Jeopardy. They never had the betting killer attitude. This guy's from Vegas. He plays like it. Animals.
Yeah. He's playing it like it's a table.
He does. He's an animal. I love this guy. All in.
Well,
all in.
Guys, I was reading the story. So he cleared $250,000 in 4 nights. That's dude, nuts. Ken Jennings, won 74 times for $2.5 million. This guy would slaughter that number if he got to win 74 times in a row.
Well, he keeps winning.
Yeah,
and he's good, right? I don't want to, no Jeopardy spoiler or anything, but this is from Friday. So he won again Friday. So he's coming into this week. He won again. And, on Friday, like Cam and Mike, he keeps getting better. Like, he already set a record last week with one of the highest, like, single day totals. He did it again. On Friday's show, he won $110,941. Yeah. Through 7 days, he's now up $415,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, $415 and $35 is now the fourth on the show's all-time winnings list.
In 7 days. Wins? In he only won days. 7 times?
What's that?
He won 7 times for the 450 grand?
Yeah, 7 shows.
Seven shows, yeah.
And Ken Jennings won 10 times that amount and only five times the money.
Bigger money now. Stakes are bigger, I guess.
Well, he's just going all in, like Cam says. He's like, yeah, daily double. Baby. Let it ride.
You're right, too. That's a good point. Ken Jennings was safe because he's, like, not a crazy dude. So he was already knew. Yeah, he always knew he was going to win, so he would just sort of add a little bit on after. Like,
that's
he wouldn't go
right.
He wouldn't go all the way. This guy's, like, doubling and tripling up. And
he's crazy.
He's like, yeah, I'll risk it all, Alec. You know what I mean? I'll risk it all. Like, he's – dude, I don't know. The other day, I don't know what he's up to now. This is unfathomable to me.
It's all house money now. Now it's all house money. He can just do it every time. What does he care?
Yeah, he's already won, so –
I won eight times, and I won $500,000. Screw playing.
The first four shows, he answered. So he's hit the button 132 times through four shows. He was right 129 times.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good accuracy.
That's nuts. He's quick on the trigger, too, Morenci. That's the thing. He knows all
about
that.
Key.
He's all
132 questions. He's been right 129 times.
Yeah, he's quick on the buzzer.
He knows everything.
Yes, this guy's amazing.
At the risk of sounding arrogant, I fancy myself pretty good at Jeopardy. No way I'm getting with that accuracy.
You're a smart guy, Mike. I'm absolutely surprised you haven't been on Jeopardy. I used to do a radio show with a guy locally in Toronto. He did really he did well. Gabe, you know, when I worked with Oakley, Mike Stafford went on Jeopardy. He's like a Mensa member. He's a real smart
guy.
Yeah, he's very good. He did well, too. He's smart.
I know a guy that they went to the mall in Montreal and stuff, and he made the show. He made the cut and stuff, and he got booted off the set for hitting the button too early too many times.
Come on.
I swear to God.
That's amazing.
He was holding up the TV taping, and they said, listen, like, because they have people on standby, basically, right? They were like, you're gone, bro. You're done.
That's awesome.
Because he bitched. He did it, like, three times, and finally they were like, listen. We got other shows to tape. Like, you know what I mean?
he got
bumped. He got bumped because,
you're
hit
right,
the
Gabe,
button
they have
too, too soon, too many times. And they were like, all right, dude, you're done. We warned you. Stop doing that.
Said it. They got extra guys waiting in the wings. If you're a turkey, they'll take you right out. They don't care. Right? It's costing production money.
Jeopardy understudy on call.
They got a bunch of people in the wings. So, yeah. So this guy's a pro sports bettor.
Yes.
That's his deal. Yeah,
University of Illinois.
Yeah, he bets on sports for a living in Vegas. He just bets on sports, he says. Well, you have a nicer bankroll to do it now, huh?
Sure.
No kidding.
Who does he like tonight?
Leverage.
Oh, God.
Do you like Carolina?
Why don't you just tell us who you like?
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you this. Some guy evidently has got $3,000 to burn because somebody just walked in right now to the Westgate in Vegas and bet $3,000 on the Clippers to beat the Warriors in the series.
Wow.
100-1 odds. It'll pay $300,000.
Don't think it's going to happen, but I like his style.
Of course,
what about that guy?
Yeah, $85,000, Cam, on Tiger Woods. He won $1.19 million yesterday.
Yeah.
Hill.
There was another guy, I think. I'm not sure, Gabe, if this was the right story. I thought there was a guy with $140,000 too, but I'm not sure. But you're right. I heard that other story. Heard there were a couple big Tiger Woods bets out there. People cashed in. Good for them.
Some guy just bet $20,000. $20,000 to win $20 in Vegas. The Tiger will not sweep the major board.
That's idiotic. Like, you should almost be banned. You should be banned from gambling for gambling like that. That's just stupid.
He bet 20.
That's
people
dumb.
Are.
That's
well, people are saying, why would he do this? Is he money laundering? Or and no, people
doing?
Are like, no, he did it to get the casino points.
Oh, really? Why don't you just go for a lot of? Really? Are you kidding me? Oh my God! Casino points. What? That's what you're doing to get casino points?
I don't know. He probably got some rooms out of this. He just bet 20K.
Couldn't you have a lot more fun spending the 20 grand elsewhere?
That's what I'm thinking too, Morenci. That's a bad way. I still don't like it. That guy should get banned. That's a bad
To win 20 bucks.
That's so stupid. God, that's ridiculous. It's like Paul Casey blew it. I want to take his.
Dude, they're hanging on with interest. They're making more in interest alone. Like, they're taking your money. Like, you're just giving 20K to the sport.
$20, Gabe. Like, what are you doing? That's so stupid.
You just loaned the casino $20,000.
That's exactly it.
For at least a month until he loses at Bethpage. You've at least given them a 4-week loan.
That's crazy. He's going to come back. Can I get my money? $20,000, and here's your $20 profit, sir.
Yep.
It's going to cost him, Cam, more to park.
Excellent point.
Darren Rovell would always put those bets out. Like when you would have to bet the UConn women to win the tournament, that they had crazy bets like that, like people betting $30,000 to win $350, you know, stuff like that. Which,
listen, if I had the money,
at least
I talked about this morning. The Raptors are now minus 270 on the series. That's not bad.
From 800? Yes. Yes.
They're not losing the series. They're not losing the series.
They were minus
1,200.
Yeah, they were minus 1,200, minus 1,300 at stations, because I remember I was doing the show with those guys before I called you two, Gabe. They were minus 1,300, and that's good. Yeah, if you want to take that bet after losing the first game, see, that's smart gambling. Now you're getting a 13-1 down to 270, and they should be able to get it done. Orlando scared them, but the Raptors are a better team. And Kyle Lowry will score in the next game. It's going to happen. What a joke, though. But honestly, Mike, I went on the show when I was down there, and the first thing we talk about, and Gabe's really into the Raptors even more than me, no team has a dark cloud over their head like these guys, and you needed to get out on the right foot. And to lose as a 9.5-point favorite outright against Orlando, it's like, here we go again. Like, Gabe, I was at the airport leaving, guy in Raptors gear. We're talking, here we go again. Washington, when they were an 8 seed versus a 1. Oh, my God, we got swept. It's unbelievable with these guys, man. It's just unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. UVA had a little nervous first half in their first game of the tournament this year against Gardner Webb. But
correct.
So hopefully the Raptors turn it around like the Cavaliers did. So are you nervous about Russell Wilson?
Yeah, Russell Wilson. It's a lead story in my update there, Mike. From what's going on here, it looks like he's still going to report, but he's basically saying, you know what, if you don't give me a deal, franchise tag me every single year, and then I'll probably not be a Seahawk anymore. Gabe, I'll give you credit. Me and you, we got laughed at when we talked about this. It does look like he wants to leave Seattle. Mike, there have been multiple reports now.
I remember people are like, there's no way in hell Marenzi that Russell Wilson's going anywhere.
They said that to me and you. He's going to go to the Giants. I know.
I said this isn't coming out of nowhere. Like, he's throwing this out there for a reason. Exactly.
It's real. And his wife's an entertainer. She's in New York a lot. She is in New York.
I think the lack of Seattle picking up any star players on offense has pissed him off finally.
Yeah,
I think he's thinking to himself, why am I doing this? I'm playing out here in the Pacific Northwest. I've been here for years. It's pretty clear. Look, we didn't get Odell. We didn't get Antonio Brown. We never do anything flashy. Every time a good player wants money, he leaves here. I've been here forever. My wife, and I bet he's the type of guy to – you know, my wife wants to, as an entertainer, it'd be better if we were in New York. And I don't know. It seems to me that it's coming to a head. Unless, listen, Seattle step up to the table tonight. But why does Seattle want to let it get to this? They should just extend him. But I don't know. I get the feeling they're not going to.
You don't set a deadline like this unless you want some major action to occur. There's no reason for April 15th to be the deadline.
Yeah, he also wants $35 million a year.
For action. Of course. But so, it really puts their feet to the fire. I just don't know why it has to be today.
Mike, but they were saying if you franchise him for the third year, what are we talking, $52 million or some crazy number like that? It's nuts.
It's not palatable. You can't do it.
No, it's not. You can't do that. Like, Abe, I don't know what the hell's going on, man. But you're right. Like, Seattle's been on the cheap for a long time. They are my team. But you could just tell. Like, his wife's in the entertainment business. She did all the New Year's stuff. She's always in New York. Russell Wilson seems like the type of guy, too, to say, hey, honey, you know what? Your life is as important as mine. You like New York? Well, we can make it work. And he seems like he's the type of guy
that Russell wants to be a star, too, Cam.
Yeah.
Russell wants to be a bigger star. You think that's it?
I agree, Mike. I think so. I really do. I really think New York's for him. He played at NC State and Wisconsin, still pretty generally Midwest and East. Like, he's been out in Seattle for a long period of time. Yeah.
He can say it's for his wife, but maybe it's for him.
Yep, it's true. Absolutely true.
Yeah,
Gabe, it's not so far-fetched, buddy. This could happen. He could go to the Giants.
He might be thinking in the same terms that LeBron was thinking about going to L.A. Yeah. Russell Wilson has bigger aspirations than just being a quarterback, right? And business ventures and entertainment. And he's thinking, I'm never going to get this in Seattle. I'm being wasted in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
Yeah.
Eli was more recognized than Phil Rivers just based on zip code. He won, obviously, but the zip code was a big deal for Eli.
Well, like we said, Seattle have never been.
They're not big Seattle. Spenders.
No, like they haven't stepped up and been aggressive in free agency ever. You know, listen, they have a decent team, but because of him, for the most part. You know, if it wasn't for Russell Wilson, I mean, like he makes their offense a lot better with limited talent around him. Yeah, they run the football. They got a little bit better at that this year, but he never really, you know, Doug Baldwin was okay, but he's never really had a legitimate star threat to work with. You know, we'll see. And also, people like change in life sometimes, right? It's always the players you least expect it, too, that end up on different teams. Mike Blewett, thanks for the time, Mike.
Take care, Mike.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah. All the best, buddy.
Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. We'll take a look at the NHL card for tonight. It's a busy one. Yep. Only two games in the NBA. Game time decision.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Tiger Woods is the 8-1 favorite to win the PGA Championship.
Don't like that.
He already has major victories in each of the next two venues, Bethpage Black and Pebble Beach. So he's one win in three starts. He's played three times at Bethpage Black. He won the PGA Championship there before. He won the U.S. Open in 2000 at Pebble Beach. He's won there twice. Once, though, it was a major, including the 2000 U.S. Open. And Royal Portrush has never played the event at this course before. Royal Portrush, Cam, the British Open this year.
Royal Portrush, I think the home of I think Graham McDowell. It's in Northern Ireland. I think that's one of his home courses. Why he was very happy to win a tournament earlier this year to get in there. And yeah, Tiger Woods. But any type of golf in the British Open, Gabe, he has all the shots in the bag. So. I like him more in the British than the PGA, even though it is at Bethpage Black, and he won the Masters 8-1. I will not be pulling the trigger. Sorry.
I see here at ESPN Stats and Info, the Tampa Bay Lightning are one loss for being eliminated right now. And teams with the most wins in a regular season, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, NHL, have all failed to win the championship. Isn't that crazy?
No, it
isn't, isn't that nuts?
It is nuts. And know what I'd do with the President's Trophy? I'd grab it and get a gun and just blow it up into a million pieces. It's all, it's almost like Tampa Bay was playing for the record and whatever, and the whole essence of what you want to do is play for the Stanley Cup. And we talked about it. All the teams that are playing well now had to squeak in, like Columbus. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. They played well. We'll give Washington a little bit of credit because they've had a playoff spot locked up for a while, but they're still getting it done. But Tampa Bay and Hedman's going to be out for game four, too, Gabe. I think Columbus might sweep these guys. Am I nuts? I have them in the series.
Like the 2001 Seattle Mariners set a record at the time. They won like 118 games or something crazy. They didn't win. The 2015-16 Warriors, the team that set that all-time record, they lost. That was the year they lost to LeBron and the Caps. Remember 2007, New England Patriots? They were undefeated or whatever. They lost to Eli Manning in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
95-96 Red Wings set a record at the time. And now the 2018-2019 Tampa Bay Lightning are on the brink.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Yang. I'm Cam Zuhrer, your Fantasy Sports News Update. Just a pair in the NBA playoffs tonight. And Gabe, we like what Brooklyn did in Game 1, shocking Philadelphia. Tonight, the Sixers, they were up 8.5, now 8. People bet the line down to 8. Sixers minus 8 versus the Nets, over under 226. This one tips off just after 8. Game 2 of the doubleheader, Golden State hosting the LA Clippers. Clippers getting some bad calls in Game 1. Doc Rivers not happy, and the Warriors laying 13.5 points tonight. Total down to 234. Warriors lead this series 1-0. Russell Wilson wants to make a little bit of history. The Seattle Seahawks quarterback looking to set a precedent by signing a contract that can rise in future years based on increases in the NFL salary cap or new revenue streams. This according to Peter King. Those new revenue streams could include gambling and future TV deals. Such a deal would be the first in history to fluctuate. Wilson, who is entering his final year of his current deal, has set an April 15 deadline, ladies and gentlemen. That's today. Still no word yet, but he wants a long-term deal with Seattle. He also said that even if he doesn't have a deal, he will still report to camp. But here's the way things break down. Under the franchise tag in 2020, it'd be worth $30.3 million. In 2021, $36.4 million. Wilson's hard stance in negotiations. People are saying he might be interested in playing for another team. Reports indicate the New York Giants were tops of the list, so we will be on top of this story. Wilson spending his entire career in Seattle, never missed a game since 2012, 6 Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl title. The Giants looking at a quarterback, one of their prospects before the draft, Dwayne Haskins, set to visit the Giants for 2 days. He grew up in Jersey. He's a Jersey kid. He met with the Broncos and Redskins last week. And the quarterback also on the Oakland Raiders radar. They have the number 4 overall pick in the draft. Patriots star quarterback Tom Brady expected to skip volunteer team workouts for a second straight year. The 41-year-old missed last season. Who cares? He threw for 4,355 yards, 29 touchdowns, 11 picks, and won the Super Bowl for a 6th time. Busy night in the NHL hockey playoffs tonight, but breaking news. The Philadelphia Flyers naming former Vancouver Canucks coach Alain Vigneault as their new head coach today. Things starting off with a pair of games in the NHL playoffs, 7 p.m. Toronto and Boston. Leafs laying 20 cents, over under 6 flat. The series tied at 1. Corey Krug and Jake DeBrusk both in the lineup for the Bruins. Nazem Kadri, we're still waiting on that suspension for the cross-check to Jake DeBrusk's head. That has not come down yet. Carolina and Washington, the Canes laying 130 tonight. Washington looking to take a stranglehold on the series to over under in this game 6. Capitals holding a 2-0 lead on the bunch of jerks. 9:30. Dallas and Nashville. Stars a small favorite at minus 120. Very low total. Lowest of the night, guys. 5 flat. This series tied at 1 game apiece. And at 10 p.m., Calgary taking on Colorado. The Flames laying 120 on the road, over under 6. This best of series tied at 1. And Cale Makar, the Hobie Trophy winner, he's in the lineup for Colorado tonight. A great season in the NCAA. Was in the Frozen Four and had 49 points in 41 games this year for the UMass Minutemen. Today we honor Jackie Robinson, the man who broke the color barrier. Thank you, number 42. It's Jackie Robinson Day across MLB parks right now. Hey, Austin, horrible, horrible day on Patriots Day. The Red Sox losing to Baltimore 8-1 today. Former Blue Jay Dwight Smith Jr., a dinger, 4 RBI. And yeah, wow, what a loss for Boston. Dan Straley, the win. Hector Velasquez, the loss. Baltimore moves to 7-10. Red Sox, 6-11. Bad start. Games tonight. Mets and Phillies. Phils minus 25, 7.5. Syndergaard versus Nola. Great pitching matchup there. 7-10. Cubbies minus 40 at Miami, 8. Darvish versus Richards. Parrot 7:40. We got the Cardinals and Brewers. Nice rivalry. Brew Crew laying 35. Total 9.5. Hudson versus Peralta. Toronto at Minnesota to battle the Twins. Twinkies minus 140. Total 8.5. Shoemaker versus Perez. 8:05. We have the Angels at the Texas Rangers. Angels minus 130. 10.5. Cahill versus Miller. 8:10. Royals at White Sox. The White Sox minus 139.5. Phil Meyer versus Santana. And a trio of action at 10:10. Clayton Kershaw making his LA Dodgers debut tonight. They're laying $1.77.5 in that game. Cincinnati at the Dodgers. Cleveland at Seattle. Tribe minus 15 on the road. Over under 7 flat. Bauer versus Kikuchi. And the Colorado is at the San Diego Padres. Padres minus 170. Over under 7.5. Sansatella at Lucchese.
Stick around, everybody. We have DFS lineups, picks galore. We'll break down the NBA, NHL, and a whole lot more. I'm Cam Stewart, Gabe Morenci, host Red Heat and Rage. Stick around, everybody. More Red Heat and Rage coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions. All right, game time decisions. Ready, Rage, our radio level two. This is just too good. Nick Aussie tweeted out. Nick Aussie used to play Aussie football. And Mick tweeted out an interview that he did. He was the sports scene player of the week. And there's like a character cartoon of him. It's pretty good, actually. But it's great. It's like you know, one of those simple questionnaires type things. Marital status, single, birthplace, nickname, Narkle. Senior games played, 104. Favorite food, steak and whale.
Wow. Yeah.
Favorite drink, beer. Favorite TV show, Melrose Place.
That's great.
Favorite TV show, Melrose Place. Favorite singer / group, Melissa Etheridge.
Woo.
Favorite movie, Mad Max 2.
Crazy.
Favorite
answers.
Actor and actress, Mel Gibson and Demi Moore.
Fair enough.
Other sports that you like, windsurfing, golf, tennis. What are your likes? Playing well. What are your dislikes? Being injured.
That's great. That's good. Likes, playing well.
Yeah, favorite position, center and rover. Fortunately, that's what he answered. He answered the position. Yeah. That's great. Favorite TV show, Melrose Place.
Melrose Place.
All right, so we got a full slate of NHL hockey this evening. Like I said, we spoke with Ron Cyrak earlier, and worth replaying. Legendary golf writer, get his takes on Tiger Woods. But we got a full slate. Still waiting on this Kadri stuff, Cam. Like, you know, what kind of league are they running, bro? What kind of league? They're gonna tell these guys 2 minutes before they go on the ice.
You said it, and I'll give you credit. Like, I was kind of waiting for it to come down and. You know, Gabe, I prepped the updates and get ready. And I'm like, so you've announced that Joe Thornton might have a meeting. Yeah, well, they played. Kadri's playing tonight. Like the Sharks in Vegas aren't playing for another night.
Dude, it was a little cross check to the face. I just watched it again in front of me right now. Everyone needs to chill out, man. Like, seriously, it was a penalty.
The problem is,
it was a penalty.
You know what it is? Gabe, if he didn't hit him in the face, he'd probably get a couple. Trust me, the NHL, though, I know the way these guys operate. And I'll tell you one thing.
He should have attacked him, Cam. He should have fought him.
That's what I think.
He should have just punched him.
He's a multiple offender. People don't like Kadri because Kadri's one of those guys. I hate to say it, even as a Leaf fan, he's done cheap stuff before. He's a pest. But you know what? You said it. DeBrusk is a guy that gets away with a lot of stuff, and people don't talk about him. I talk about Malkin a lot. DeBrusk does a lot of cheap, shitty stuff, and he needs to be punished. The problem is the Leafs have who on their team is going to punish him? Tavares? No.
No, but that's the
Matthews,
problem.
No, they don't have anybody. You almost wish you had a Roman Polak just to, you know, put his head into the ground. Like, that's the thing. It's going to have to be one of the defensemen. It's going to have to be Muzzin or Hainsey. There's nobody else who can do it. All the other guys are offensive guys, Gabe. The Leafs aren't tough enough. That's the problem. They should have got
tougher. They can't. And here's another picture of this DeBrusk guy going knee-on-knee on Kadri earlier in the game as well.
He's a prick. He is.
Like, you know, I hope the NHL takes a look at this. But, you know, whatever, man. It's a joke. Like, whatever. One game, fine. But the Leafs can't get into this game, man. They need to just still play hockey. They can't.
And their stars
better
show.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decisions continues. Fantasy Sports Network. I am Kimball Morency. We're down with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. As we mentioned, we've got a full slate of NHL hockey this evening. Just two games in the NBA, including one of them, the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Brooklyn Nets came to play, Cam.
Damn right they
on,
did.
On Saturday, and now they're getting 8.5 points tonight.
Very proud.
You should a lot be of proud, points. Gabe.
It's too many points. It's funny. I was sitting in the horse book, and I actually bet on Brooklyn in that game, and I was talking to a guy. He was big on Philadelphia. I said, don't be so excited about here. The Brooklyn Nets got a killer instinct, man, and I really like their team. Atkinson's done a great job with that team, buddy, and I'll tell you, that is a lot of points. I wouldn't be running to the window to bet Philadelphia. I think Brooklyn thinks they can beat these guys outright.
I think they're very confident coming into tonight as well. And listen, I'll tell you what. I'm not saying that the Philadelphia 76ers aren't going to play better tonight, but I warned everybody coming into this series that Philadelphia are a fragile basketball team.
They sure are.
I can tell these things. Like, they're from the relationship that they have with the coach, to the relationship that they have with each other, to the relationship that they have with the fans. Everything is very fragile, and the Sixer players basically called the fans out after game one. Joel Embiid said, man, you know what? He goes, if you're going to boo every time I miss a shot, then, you know, you're just getting in my head. Because he said, every time I shot, I was worried if I'm going to get booed after. You know, should he be worried about the crowd? No, but that's what happens in Philadelphia. They turn on you quickly. They were booing Ben Simmons every time he missed. And Ben Simmons said, don't come to the game. Basically. So in Philly, these are fighting words toward the fans, Cam. Right? So if we can, Yang, can we get that mic off, please?
What do you say? Mic on, mic off? You love doing that.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I'm just saying. I was wondering where that echo was coming from.
No, that's the thing. And I wasn't. Yeah, that's the thing. I know, Gabe, you know me. If you saw me on the thing, I start looking at my board and go, God, here we go. It's the old operation game. What button do I hit? I'm like, thank God. Thank God it's not me. But I will say this, Gabe. You know, hey, Philadelphia players, get tougher. If you're a professional athlete and your fans are, like, intimidating you, whatever, go out and play better then. You know what I mean? They pay money for the ticket. You want to go suck it? Advantage Brooklyn, man. They got a lot of fragile egos on this team, buddy. And you know what? That's not good enough. It's not good enough in the playoffs, man. You got to dig down. And you said it all year, Gabe. I like the Nets. Know why? Because they fight. They claw. They might have as much talent as Philly, but it doesn't matter. Look at Columbus versus Tampa. Who wants it more, buddy? Who wants it more? These guys can smell it. They can taste it. The fans turning on them. They get off to a nice lead again. Philadelphia might implode.
That's the thing where it's so
important.
That's
what Columbus did to Tampa Bay. Scored early, and the Tampa Bay freaked out. Exactly what we talked about.
This first quarter here tonight with the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers is critical for Brooklyn to get out and smother them early. Get out and smother them early and make Philadelphia's fans turn on the Sixers again, which they inevitably will. And they're going to come in there grumpy to begin with. And, you know, you add it up. Joel Embiid keeps taking shots. He's diving all the time. Like, he's just – he's very un-Philadelphia-like, you know? So he's pissing people off. Yeah, he's sort of rubbing people the wrong way with his antics. It's okay when you're winning, but when you're not winning, it gets old, right? He's flopping around. He's pushing people all the time. Like, it's an Embiid thing. They're not all on the same page. Jimmy Butler did everything he possibly could, actually. Jimmy Butler really balled. I mean, the guy scored 23 points in the first half.
You are correct.
But one thing with Brooklyn, Cam, if you notice them, they don't really have a star player. Like, D'Angelo Russell put up star-type numbers this year, but they don't, like, pass the ball to him all the time. It's not like, oh, our offense runs through him. The thing with Russell is when he gets the ball, he shoots for the most part. He's going to shoot when he gets the ball. But you'll notice, like, with Brooklyn Net games, each guy steps up at different times of the game.
They know their role.
Yeah, Damari Carroll will play well for like 6 minutes in the second quarter where you're like, oh, man, he's hitting threes, he's blocking shots. And then D'Angelo Russell will get hot for about 10 minutes. And then, boom, Caris LeVert hits a couple of shots. Dinwiddie hits a couple of shots. Like, it's not one guy. Like, it really is a team effort throughout the game where it's like you said, everyone has a role, but it's like, all right, man, like, do your thing. Like, if you're hot, take the shot. Like, that's the way they work with Brooklyn. The Hawkeye gets the shot, and if you're not, pass it up. And if you're open, take the shot. They don't hesitate, too. You'll notice a lot of teams, Cam, like, they'll hesitate. Like, Kyle Lowry would get the open look the other day, and he'd sort of look at it, and Brooklyn
it's
get
annoying.
The ball and shoot it. Like, they don't
exactly.
hesitate. They're like, I know I'm shooting. Give me the ball. I'm going to shoot it. Right? Like, they're very confident, Brooklyn. They're a better team than their record would indicate, I would say, just because they dug themselves the hole. I mean, you know, it all started the game I went to see them against the Raptors. They were on an 8-game losing streak.
It actually did. Really
they were going
did.
Nowhere, and somehow they won that game, and the rest is history.
I remember that night. I was looking for you, too. I was at the sports bar going, where's Morenci? I know he's got the seat somewhere here. And it was crazy. Yeah, they beat the crap out of a good Raptors team. And I will say this, Gabe, you're right. Everything you say about Brooklyn makes me want to take them. And Philadelphia, they're that team where they have so many guys that are talented, but you can tell there's a real chemistry issue. And in basketball, that's a problem. You got to be in sync with each other, man. It's not cool. And Philadelphia is the worst type of city for that type of thing. And these guys look like they're very, very soft emotionally. They can't plow through something like that. And if the Nets can jump on them early and maintain it, the longer the game goes, if Brooklyn hangs around, the worse it's going to be for Philadelphia. For Philadelphia, they need to get up and kick their ass early, or else it's going to be a long night for them because Brooklyn won't quit. We've seen them come back from multiple games down 22, 24. They won't tap out till they're probably down over 30. That's the type of team they are. They grind.
It's the playoffs now, so obviously it's not easy to – it's not like the Philadelphia 76ers are telling us what's going on with Joel Embiid. He was listed as doubtful, Joel
Embiid. I'm so sick and tired of that shit, too. Like, enough.
He's
so
questionable.
Annoying. Right. Like, these guys, Gabe, in hockey, you're playing with the broken legs. Questionable. Oh, I'm hurt. Blah, blah, blah. Load management. Get off your ass and play. You're making millions of dollars. Figure it out, okay? It's basketball. It's a tough game, but you know what I mean? You can go out there and get it done. This stuff is a joke to me. Like, it's an absolute joke. It's been the whole season it's been like this, buddy. I don't know what your take is, but you got to get tougher. You think the guys in the old days did this? I don't want to sound like we're old, but you ever hear about Magic Johnson, Bill Laimbeer? Yeah, any of these guys, like, you know what I mean? They go out and play, and they got their, you know, cuts, bruises, soreness. Oh, I'm hurt. Questionable, doubtful. I might play. I'm done. I don't like Joel Embiid. It's just personal. I think he's a clown. He's a great player.
Joel Embiid. And this is going to rub people like you and especially people in Philadelphia the wrong way, is he says, it's my decision because I'm the one that's feeling the pain, and it's my body. They're going to do whatever they can as far as getting me ready and be healthy. But if my body doesn't respond based on a pain level, there's nothing really you can do. Says Joel Embiid. And, you know, it's funny because I brought this up actually. I brought this up on Friday. And, you know, I was talking actually was with an Uber driver of all people. And it's funny that an Uber driver knew something that the Philadelphia 76ers didn't. The Uber driver told me, I don't know why they're playing Joel Embiid today. If he's hurt, just like not play him today because this is, you know, he doesn't really understand. And I told the guy, you'll see. They'll play him today, and then the rest of the series, every game, it's going to be like drama before the game.
Yep.
And here we are. It's exactly this. He didn't play down the stretch. I don't know, man. He looked healthy on the court. You know, he did. I mean, he didn't look. I don't know what the deal is, but I got to tell you, the fact that the point spread is at 8.5, the odds makers must feel he's playing, Cam.
Exactly.
I mean, would they be 8.5 without him?
Without him, it would be what? What do you think? 5?
6.5?
I'm thinking 5 and 5.5, probably. But yeah, at 8.5, that has to be he's playing. And maybe this is an advantage to Brooklyn again, Gabe. Embiid, if he wants to play and his body's not good and right and doesn't play well early, you know, he might leave the game early. Who knows what's going to happen? All I know is Brooklyn looks very enticing at 8 or 8.5 points to me. I'm going to give it a long, hard look.
Philly sports investigator on Twitter. I don't know who this guy is. He just said, I see on Twitter, injury report, Ben Simmons, menstrual cycle, Tobias Harrell, missing headband, JJ Redick, where's New Balance?
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions continues. Red Heat Rage, our radio. Fantasy Sports, our radio network. I'm Gabe Morenci alongside Cam Stewart on this Monday afternoon. The Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers tips off at 8 o'clock tonight. I see 8:10 to be exact. 8:10 Eastern tip off. And then the L.A. Clippers and the Golden State Warriors at 10:40 tonight. I would call the NBA out for only having two games this evening, but there are challenges with the arenas, specifically because both the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing, Cam, right? So are the Celtics and the Raptors.
True.
So it's hard to bitch. It is what it is. The Raptors will play tomorrow. The Leafs are playing tonight. And then the Raptors will play tomorrow at the ACC. So we mentioned it's 8.5 points. Right now, the series price for Brooklyn. Brooklyn are plus 180. Philadelphia are minus 225. I mentioned earlier in the day, Cam, and son of a, man, I didn't have the money to do it, though, but this is one of these deals. I think somebody probably listened to me because I said this morning on the air about how if I had like $2,000 to go bet with right now, I would put it on the Toronto Raptors to win the series. It was worth it. It was $2,000 paid back like $764 or something.
Yeah.
And there's no way in hell they're losing the series to the Orlando Magic. Now, it was $270 earlier in the day. It's now $370. That's
big
a big difference.
Oh,
obviously,
huge difference.
They got hit hard with this. Somebody put some big money down and realized, you know what? That's not a bad bet at minus $270. So the Raptors are now minus $370. This one's interesting. The San Antonio Spurs are now favored over the Denver Nuggets, minus 106. And I think the Nuggets will be fine, Cam. The Nuggets hadn't been in a playoff game in 6 years. And the San Antonio Spurs have some veteran players on their team. LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, Greg Popovich, coach, Patty Mills. And Patty Mills has been in a million playoff games before. San Antonio just looked like they were more comfortable. Denver looked a little rattled, but I fully expect Denver to bounce back tomorrow night.
I like exactly where you're going with both things. And we know in the NBA, Gabe, favorites tend to win a hell of a lot more than in any other type of league. Now you're getting the Raptors instead of laying 14-1. I don't like the 370, but you're right. 270 is an absolute steal and bargain for a team that I think should win the series. That's crazy. So being down one game, you're getting it from 14 to under three. That is a huge, huge percentile in savings. It's kind of like live gambling. We look for the value. The value is actually with the team still laying that price. And I'm with you with the Denver Nuggets. Good performance by San Antonio. I think Denver will eventually win the series. And now as a pick'em, Gabe, I'm actually going to follow your advice, and I will bet Denver to win the series at a pick'em price, down a game. It doesn't really matter. I think they come back, and they will get it done. Raptors, both of them. I like both of your bets. Hell, if I could parlay them, I will. And I'll take a chance that way and maybe turn it into plus something or very, very little juice.
Portland are minus 135 after winning the first game against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City are plus 115.
Tough series.
I think that series is going to go seven games. I think Denver and San Antonio is going to go seven games. Old school game yesterday, Cam. I think it was like 84-74. Boston and the
Indiana?
Pacers.
yeah,
people listen. Yeah. Good. People always squawk. Oh, in the old days, you know, these new dudes, and they like, there's no defense anymore. And everyone complains all the time about the modern NBA. And then they bitch about this game. That's the way the NBA used to be. I remember it was brutal, dude. I remember, like, playoff games, because I bet on totals. I remember, like, the Bulls and the Heat, like, about 10 years ago. They were posting totals, like, 172 and stuff like that.
Yeah. 82, 78.
Like, yeah, you've got to be able to get there. And I was like, no, they did it sometimes.
No,
they wouldn't.
No, they
final score, 78-74. Or, like, like you said, yeah, first one to 80 wins. You know, 80-76 type thing. You know, even in the old glory days of the Knicks and the Heat that people want to romanticize so much, there were some ugly low-scoring games in those days, bro.
There sure was. Real ugly. I want to take both dogs in the NBA tonight, Gabe, and I know we'll talk about this more in the DFS gambling hour. And I'm with Doc Rivers. I'm with Doc Rivers. I think it's a bunch of BS. So his guy doesn't do anything, right? He asks the ref, was that a foul? And he gets teed up. Yet I'm watching the Golden State Warriors players drop F-bombs, say this, that. And that's what pisses me off about the NBA. I get it. You're the champs. We're going to listen to you. But I'm on Doc Rivers' side. They did nothing the Clippers did in comparison to what Golden State did to get teed up in games, and that game was out of control. The reffing was so in favor of Golden State, it didn't even give these guys a chance. I'm hoping the line goes to like 14.5, 15. I actually want to take the Clippers. They've been gritty all year long, and I think it's BS. I think it's nuts. But, you know, yeah, you're helping Golden State. They don't need any help. The Clippers are the one in the series that needs some help, but this is the way it's going to be, right, Morenci? You watch this league on a regular basis. It's a That's the way it goes. I just think it's ridiculous, though. You know, it's the to me, the LA Clippers got hosed. Nothing went their way that game. Golden State's obviously going to kill these guys, but let them compete. You know, like they're bitching at the refs the whole time. Do you not agree with that, though? You can even hear it when you're watching the game. I'm in the sports book. I'm watching the game, you know, at the El Cortez. I'm going down there from the Nugget. I'm watching a couple guys. You know, most people have money on Golden State. I'm just watching this game. What the hell do these guys have to do to get a call? And that's what it used to be like for the Raptors. You don't always want to bitch and complain about a league, but the NBA, it is awful with the favoritism. That's kind of why I like the NHL in the playoffs, you know? At least a team like Columbus, they're getting a fair shake against Tampa Bay. It's probably not good for business if they win that series, but they're dominating them, and that's the way it is, right? But it seems like Golden State, no matter if they play poorly, well, or whatever, they'll always get the benefit of the doubt.
So, Cam, you are a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
I am.
And you've been to quite a few games this year, but playoffs
undefeated.
Not...
Undefeated when I'm there, Gabe. They need me, but I haven't got the call yet. Yep, undefeated.
Wow.
6-0 this year.
You're 6-0.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
6-0, 5-1 to the over. Leafs in the over. Bring Cam.
Wow, you're good luck. Yeah, and look at me with the Raptors. They're 0-4
like you
against
Brooklyn.
The spread. They're
like
0-4
Brooklyn.
Against the spread. Yeah.
You like, Brooklyn's good to you. The Leafs were good to me. I'm not getting any calls from
anybody.
That's
unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
They should be giving you a ticket. They hooked that dart guy up. Why? Because he smokes cigarettes?
Yeah. Dart man. You're not bringing it. Hey, dart man, you hack darts, but what? What are the Leafs doing when you're in the audience? Who cares if you smoke? I got lots of buddies who smoke cigarettes and other things. Dart man's not bringing them wins.
Wow. 6-6. Oh.
Yeah. And I'm nice at the... I give the team lots of money at the beer concession stand. I'll buy a... you know what? Come on, Morenci. You said it. I'm positive for the team. I get my section going every time I go to the game. Yeah, me and Vizine Vince, the last game we went to with his woman, they were down 1-0 to Edmonton. Didn't they win that? They won 6-3. They scored 6 unanswered goals. They killed them.
Yeah, I think I really do think that they should be paying for you to be there.
Thank
like,
you.
I can't. Yeah,
I appreciate that. And the Raptors should be paying you. But unfortunately, we go to Raptors
off,
games, we don't win.
They're better off. Now. They've won 3 of the 4 games I've been to this year, but they haven't covered any of them.
They're winning. Money line, I guess.
Money lines. So you know how much it is tonight to park? I'm seeing here on StubHub, parking pass only tonight, Boston at Toronto.
$50.
$95.
$95
to park.
Gabe, I got a great idea for you, but like if you were still here and like we knew somebody, you know what we could do it? Because at least this building, you get like visitor parking. And I know the guy now because I used to park in the underground. I could probably roll up 3 or 4 spots for $400 and we can go to the bar and first round's on me.
I like your hustle. Yeah, if you get a cool parking guy in a condo, you tell him, listen, we're going to cram cars in here.
Here's 100 for you. Yeah, here's 100 for you. Give me 5 or 6 spots. We grease them. We get some money and we go to the bar. Sounds like a winner.
Or it's too bad, like, your house isn't close to the arena. You just let them park right on your lawn?
Oh, yeah, and in my garage. I give them both. Joe's gone now. The only thing that's there is his motorcycle. He hasn't come back for it. Yeah, Gabe, it's crazy. I come home. All I see is an empty bed, computer room. It's like I got robbed, but I guess he left early or whatever because I was in Vegas, and I come back. All I see is incense and air fresheners. That's all I got in the house now. And he left me some. I open up the cupboard. There was one ramen noodle there, one Mr. Noodles.
He left you a pack of ramen noodles for old time's sake.
Hey, Cam, you like noodles? Yeah, thanks.
So you came back and Portuguese Joe's gone, huh?
Yeah, he's moving up to Burlington, Hamilton area. His brother's moving in town. So, yeah, now I don't have a tenant. Best tenant I ever had. I told my girlfriend I'll never get another tenant in here. Nobody was good as him. He was amazing. You know, he used to come home with food for me. It's not happening, Gabe. I can't. It's kind of like you. You have to live alone. Like, you're not the roommate type, and I'll never have one again. It'll never get better than him, so why even try?
Yeah, you reach a certain age in your life where you just can't be living with other grown men.
No, you can't be walking out in your underwear scratching. Hey, everybody. Hey, like, I was nice to. Hey, you want a coffee in the morning? And I'd make breakfast sometimes. And you know, he was cool when we did our little hits on Wednesday. When you're doing the morning show, Joe always enjoyed it. He just sit around and listen and stuff. But we're grown men now. So you know what? That's why I'm working the weekend show. We'll put that money towards the mortgage payment. We're done. He gone.
Wow, some good times. I almost feel like we got to play Sarah McLachlan. I will remember you.
I will remember.
He'll probably be back for the motorcycle, though, still.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, and he'll come back. He told me he wants to take me, if the Jets are still in the playoffs, to the bar to watch a game anyway. So good comeback by the Jets last night, too. St. Louis was kicking their ass the first couple games. That's a hockey team. They fought back really hard last night. Got to Binnington. Not easy to do, Gabe. Great games in Vegas. We talked about S.J. Sharkey. They got big problems, man. Martin Jones and that defense. San Jose's done. After this year,
it's funny,
I don't know
though,
everybody's going to do.
Everybody was all over Vegas negatively. They were like, oh, Vegas were flat. They're not the same this year. Yeah. Now, boom, look at Vegas. They're getting it going against the Sharks.
Excellent point by you. And I've never seen a town that had probably one of the best sports stories ever so down on their team. I'm at the Golden Nugget Sportsbook. Vegas sucks. Vegas sucks. Oh, Vegas sucks. Oh, no. They're horrible, man. You nuts? This team's been in the league 2 years. They go to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah, they suck. Probably being a league
we're rocking.
Fan. Come on, man.
You like the jersey today, Kev? Check it out. Simpson, Springfield. Isotope.
That's great. The isotopes. Hopes win.
Three-eyed fish.
That is a great jersey.
Go, Tope.
Hopes win.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Morning After continues. Fantasy Sports, our radio and television networks, Sports Byline. Shout out to all of our affiliates, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and everything else. In between, we're talking Tiger Woods right now. We're going to get into the NBA playoffs in a couple of minutes as well. But let's bring in a longtime golf writer, winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award, Ron Cyrak, to talk about Tiger's greatness. Ron, welcome to the program. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
It's a thrill to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you lie, but I appreciate it nevertheless. Ron, we were just going over the accomplishments, and I've always been one of these guys, you know, and I was saying it's almost like LeBron and Jordan, the comparisons. In which younger people always said, oh, you know, Tiger's the man, and older people, Jack. And I grew up watching golf with my grandfather, and I'm one of these guys that always said, numbers count, man, and Jack won 18 times. Don't forget that. But the thing that was always so impressive to me about Jack was the longevity and the fact that, you know, he was so dominant and for so long, and then that win again in 1986. And to me, this is the thing that blows me away about Tiger Woods. And for the number one thing, Ron, to me that's so impressive about this is the personal story of it, from the personal problems, man. I mean, this guy was, you know, falling asleep in cars and stuff like that. Obviously in a dark place, and then to be back on the top of the mountaintop again, hell of a story just from a personal standpoint when you take the golf out of it even, Ron.
Yeah, that's what makes it really amazing. This is a very different Tiger Woods. You know, the first version of Tiger Woods, we all put him on a pedestal, the media, the fans, everybody. And he deserved to be there, and he wanted to be there. And he didn't crawl down from that pedestal until he got knocked from it by a perfect storm of physical, technical, emotional, and personal issues that knocked him down. And to see him climb back up there and do what he did. And he won yesterday as a very different kind of golfer than the first time around when he dominated. I saw Muhammad Ali win the heavyweight championship as three different styles of boxers. I felt like yesterday I saw Tiger Woods win the Masters as a different style of golfer right now. He didn't overwhelm the golf course. He didn't overwhelm the field. He just did what he had to do. He won in a very Nicklaus-like way.
Yeah, you know, Ron, I thought, you know, you talk about old Tiger versus new Tiger. One of the things that stuck out to me is that these guys that he beat yesterday, and this was the who's who of leaderboards, by the way. It wasn't like he beat a bunch of nobodies. But these guys got to experience what the golfers 15, 20 years ago on tour did. Sunday, final group, Tiger Woods lurking in those crowds. And I think Tony Finau and Molinari, these guys had grown up watching that and hearing about it, but they got to experience what it's like, Tiger Woods in the final group on a Sunday, and it's a little bit different, and they got to experience it firsthand.
Yeah, he hit the big shots when he needed to. He took what Augusta National offers you. The only vulnerable holes in that course are the par fives. He birdied the last three par fives, number 8, number 13, number 15, and then on 16, the par three, he hit the hero shot in for the kick and birdie there. But what I really was the real example of the new Tiger Woods, he won with a bogey on 18, not a birdie. He did what he had to do. You know, he didn't go out and try to do more than he had to do. And to me, that's an encouraging sign going forward. It's an encouraging sign that he's reinvented himself. He's like that pitcher who doesn't quite have the 99-mile-an-hour fastball anymore, but he's figured out how to get you out with junk.
Ron Syrak with us. So what do you see moving forward for the rest of the year? Me and Joe were just talking about this, in which, you know, obviously Augusta suits his game. You know, I think that the British Open does as well. What's your prediction for Tiger moving forward? What kind of schedule do you think he's going to play moving forward? Will he pick his spots and just sort of shoot for majors right now? Because it doesn't really matter if he wins a Honda Open or something like that at this point, right? I mean, this guy's gunning for majors, isn't he?
Yeah, he is gunning for majors. He'll play a schedule that's based around that. But here's what's fun to look at. The next major is the PGA Championship at Bethpage, where Tiger Woods has won a major. After that, the U.S. Opens at Pebble Beach, where Tiger Woods has won a major. How cool would it be if we go to Royal Portrush for the British Open, and Tiger is trying not only for the calendar year Grand Slam, but he's trying to get the 18th major to tie Jack Nicklaus? That would be sort of off the charts. And I'll say this, from 25 years of covering Tiger Woods, I've learned not to underestimate him. The guy's done so many things that I didn't think were possible, and this win yesterday, if you had asked me a year ago, would Tiger win a major again, I would have said probably not. If you had asked me a year ago, is Nicklaus's record of 18 professional majors safe, I would have said absolutely. Well, Tiger proved me wrong on winning a major again. He could prove me wrong on catching Jack.
Well, it took him 11 years to get this, so let's not get crazy and give him the Grand Slam right away. I mean, it's also, not only is it a little bit different than what it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago in his prime, I think the level of competition, I mean, these kids he's going up against right now, they were 7, 8 years old wanting to be Tiger. The intimidation factor is not there with Tiger like it was back in the day with him, where we saw a lot of guys.
Might be, you know, back a little bit now, Joe.
I don't think so. I think this is a different generation. I mean, yesterday was the first time they got to experience what the pressure is like having Tiger on your ass the entire time. I don't know that, you know, the Brooks Cup is of the world, the Roar. I don't know how intimidated they're going to be moving forward with that Tiger Woods. I still think they can beat him.
I think that's a great point. I think that, you know, these young guys, I mean, look, I saw in the year 2000, I saw Tiger psychologically destroy an entire generation of players.
That's so true.
Ernie Els, Sergio Garcia, he dismantled them. They realized that if he had his A game, they were playing for second place. This younger group hasn't seen that. It was 11 years since he won a major, 14 years since he won a Masters, 18 years since the Tiger Slam was completed. So these young guys haven't said it. But on that back nine yesterday, Ian Poulter hit it in the water in 12. Francesco Molinari hit it in the water on 12. We saw some signs of people feeling a little bit of the heat. Now, some of that's just major championship heat. But it can be Tiger-induced heat as well. It will be fascinating to see how everybody responds going to the next major.
Okay, so there are other players playing in this. And that's interesting you bring it up too, Joe, because that's what I said a couple of minutes ago, Rob, before you joined us, that here's Tiger back, sucking the oxygen out of the room. Like, here it is, and moving forward right now. You know, Tiger's back, and there's, you know, these players are still learning how to win. I know they're not intimidated. I know it's a new generation and stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in the head of a new generation of players here a little bit moving forward. Who is somebody, Ron, who else that, let's say, disappointed you coming into this tournament? I was surprised. I'm not going to criticize Justin Rose. I mean, the guy's so good. He didn't have a good weekend of golf. It is what it is. But who else caught your eye in a positive way or in a light that you thought he would be a lot better? Let's just, you know, talk to me about the Masters without Tiger Woods right now.
Well, I was disappointed by McIlroy's performance because I was encouraged by what he did at the Players Championship, because I think when McIlroy has his A game, he is the best player in the world and has been for a half a dozen years now. His problem is he can't win without his A game. You know, he doesn't grind. Tiger won with his B game all the time. Great players win with their B games. And so I was expecting more from Rory here, and he was not a factor. Guys who I'm really high on going forward, I like John Rahm a lot, and he was in the top 10. I like Tommy Fleetwood a lot. I think both of those guys have not only great game, but they have enough attitude to handle being champs out there. Jordan Spieth sort of baffles me. I don't know what's happened to him, but I do think going forward, Rahm and Fleetwood are going to be a couple of the guys that Tiger's going to have to pay a lot of attention to.
Joe, you want to take us out?
Yeah, I was going to say, and let us not forget Brooks Koepka, who, and hats off to him. Here's a guy that heard the roars going up to the 17th tee. He was down two strokes. He puts it in the fairway, and he gives himself two 12-foot birdie chances on 17 and 18. Just couldn't make a putt. But Brooks Koepka is a guy with ice in his veins who I think is also, over the next 5 to 10 years, is a guy everyone's going to have to look out for.
Totally agree. Brooks plays with a healthy chip on his shoulder, you know, and that chip's always going to be there. He feels he hasn't gotten the attention he deserves. He's absolutely right about that. I'll throw another name in there, Xander Schauffele. He's a big game player. He comes up big. You know, he's got a fifth and a sixth in the U.S. Open. He was second in the British Open last year. He was hanging around yesterday, too. He's somebody that we're going to hear from going ahead.
Yeah.
Ron Cyrak with us. Ron, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Who would have guessed, man, that that Tiger would not only be back? It feels like golf is back in a sense, doesn't it, Ron? Now, it's like, well, we got a golf season coming up. We got a summer of golf coming up now.
Well, you know what? Tiger doesn't move the needle. He is the needle.
Yes,
know?
Yeah, whatever, man.
And I can't believe too. Just sets up too, as you stated, Beth Page and New York, the market. We're in New York, man. It's just going to be crazy. And as you stated, here's you guys talked about Brooks. Here's Brooks Koepka, Tiger's chancing of catching Jack. I think 18 is a whole lot closer than people think. You know, and it seems to be the common phrase right now. Jack brought it up. He said he's won at Pebble Beach. He's won at Bethpage back before. Yes, he does have me shaking in my boots, says Jack. <so. laughs>
And I'll tell you, if you had asked me what major was Tiger most likely to win again, I would have said the British Open, because that's the kind of golf course. Yeah. All those links, he can play links courses without his driver. You know, he can just go out there and hit that stinger 2-iron all the way around the golf course. And you saw how well he thought his way around Augusta National yesterday.
Thanks, Ron.
Yep.
Ron Cyrak.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, thanks to Rod Styrak joining us this morning. Game time division is back, live action, fellas. And Cable Reds, you go to town to Ranger Redhead, Cam Stewart. Countdown is on. Got a couple NBA games, so we're kicking the tires right now on a couple of NBA lineups. We've got a full slate of NHL hockey. We'll break it all down in the 6 o'clock hour. I've already gone out to FanDuel Sportsbook, so there's really no turning back. Cam, I did send you a text when I was on the way to the book.
Correct.
And, yeah, I sent you a text on the way to the book, and we're on the same page for mostly everything. A couple of exceptions. I've decided to, well, we'll share our picks in a 6 o'clock hour, but I went with Nashville tonight instead of Dallas, even though, listen, this series has been razor thin, dude. You know, both games have been razor thin, and I expect this game to be extremely close as well tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. The difference is I like Dallas, Gabe, and getting the Stars at plus like 110 in the series. I think they could have won the second game, too. It was a nice goal by Nashville. Also, Wayne Simmonds out for the entirety. He might be out for a long time. I know him probably till the end of the series. Brian Boyle, another gritty player, formerly of the Devils. You know him. He's a real hardworking playoff type of guy that you want in your roster. That is really going to hurt Nashville in this series, I think. I have a slight lean to the Dallas Stars tonight, but you're right. We'll go through the whole board tonight, and I'm really, really worried about my Leafs. And, Gabe, as we talk about tick, 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 still no news on Nazem Kadri. We are less than an hour and 15 minutes away from the game. Hey, NHL, obviously there's no love for the Leafs here. They got enough problems as it is. We can't even get a – you know what, then? He's got to play today. There's got to be a window and then be suspended moving forward then. If he didn't give them the answer, he should be able to suit up tonight, don't you think?
Wow, I like where you're going with this.
Yeah, you're the guy. You call the lawyers, right, Gabe? You know what I mean? You'd be a good defense attorney. I think we got a great case right now. This is ridiculous. So it has got 3 minutes till 6 o'clock. I got an update at 6, and you're telling me the puck drop is in an hour and a few minutes, and we have no decision. The hearing was today. When? When are you doing it? Now? Is he on skate guards?
Is it just a fight
at the ACC? Yeah, like what's going on here? What's Nazem Kadri? Is he in his uniform, Gabe? Like the little kids, they get dressed up in their equipment and he's just sitting there with skate guards in the room? You're next, Mr. Kadri. After Joe Thornton, you're next. Oh, okay. Sounds good. What a joke.
The NHL's office in Toronto is actually in the Air Canada Center, too.
I know it is. That's what I'm saying.
Or it's the Scotiabank or whatever. Yeah, so... Whatever the hell
he's
it's called.
He's probably there. He's there. Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Like...
yeah, it's a strange situation. Like, why don't they just announce this one way or the other? Like, I was kidding earlier, but like why said, I tweeted earlier, what are they going to tell them 10 minutes before they drop the puck? But evidently,
you were actually right. Yes, your joke was actually, it's almost like you're clairvoyant. And I'll tell you something. There's got to be some window of time where the Leafs can maybe appeal and say, well, you know what? You didn't give it to us. He's playing tonight. And moving forward, he has a 2-game suspension or whatever. But to suspend him an hour before game time seems pretty stupid and actually unfair. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm with you on this one. This is crazy, game, actually.
I'd like to see, like, if he got suspended and he just played anyways. Or he tried to. Just say, yeah, whatever. I don't care. I'm playing.
He's from the Marlies. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, still to this day, the best thing ever was when Bobby Valentine got kicked out and put a disguise on.
Oh, the mustache. Oh yeah, and the glasses. I love it, Gabe. Those are my favorite things. Like when guys come back with disguises, fake mustaches. You can't beat it. I'm a big fan. Big fan. Yeah, they should do that with Kadri. Put him in a Rolly Fingers mustache and, you know, go Guy Incognito like Homer Simpson. Are you Homer Simpson? No, I'm Guy Incognito.
I keep hitting refresh. Yes.
I keep it refreshed with Kadri, and nothing pops up.
No refresh, Gabe. It's not happening.
I gotta love though. There's all these Bruin fans like talking like Kadri, like a serial killer or something.
I know.
Shut up, man. You guys are Bruin fans.
DeBrusque is just—he's a cheap shot artist. Come on.